You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with producer Roy Conley and director Keith Scholey. In the new documentary Dolphin Reef, Conley and Scholey team up to tell the story of Echo, a young dolphin and his pod as they attempt to navigate life in the deep blue sea. In this one-on-one, we get to speak to them about how they get such incredible footage, what they hope to accomplish with Disney Nature, and the ecological importance of being together. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Hi, Roy, Keith.
Hello, it's Keith here as well.
Hello, guys. Thank you so much
for coming. We are here. Yeah, we have met in social distancing telephone calls.
Well, I should say so. I think I heard Keith. You're in the UK, aren't you?
Yeah. So I've got at least about 8,000 miles of social distancing from you guys.
I think we'll be fine then. I think we'll be fine.
Well, just about do the trade. Right. And I have to say, Steve, I was very excited because you're our first interview, and I think it's very apropos that Screenfish should be our first interview.
Well, I appreciate that because you know what? It's the film is beautiful. I absolutely loved it. The footage is just stunning. Thank you for including me in this and chatting with me about the film.
Oh, absolutely. And the beauty of it comes from Mr. Keith over there. In Britain, he's an amazing filmmaker.
Yeah, I definitely, Keith. I want to ask you so much about how the film was made because I mean it's just remarkable. How do you get such incredible footage? Like, do you find that the creatures are reactive? Are they receptive to your presence? Does it take a long time? What's that like?
Yeah, step one is a lot of research to find the few places where you can get those sorts of things because, like most dolphins, for example, underwater, if you hop in with them in the water, you'll just see a tail vanish into the blue. So we had to find, there are very few pods around the world that will actually accept you, especially in scuba, and we needed to have dolphins that were very comfortable around a diver, so we found a few remarkable places where that could happen. And then once you've got their trust and it's all cool, then you know you get to work. But even then, the thing with underwater filmmaking is you're just getting snapshots. Because when we make a film, say a wildlife film on land, like a cheetah or a lion, you can follow it all day, and you know you can see what it gets up to. With a dolphin, you follow it as long as it tolerates you, and the moment it's bored or had enough or got something else to do, just gives a little flick of the tail, and boom, it's gone. And you have to get out of the water and try again. So it's a far more labor-intensive process making an underwater film.
It seemed that way. Like, you know, now, okay, I don't want to dispel the Disney magic or anything, but how does something like this work once you find a pod? Do you really follow one family for an extended period of time, or do you have to follow multiple pods to build your story?
The core of the story is actually one group of dolphins which were in the Red Sea, and that's the mother and the calf, Echo, the characters, they make the core of the story. If we could follow them wherever they went and everything, like we could have cheated on land, that would have been fine, but we can't do that. So what we had to do is go to other places to pick up other elements of behavior. So I look at the film as, you know, what might the life of a dolphin be like? Because it's physically impossible to know the whole story because we can't follow it. But what we try to do from all the science and all the what we know about dolphins is put together a narrative that is true to a life of a dolphin. And I think we've achieved that.
I think, Steve, I like to say that there is one Echo, but he has many stunt doubles.
That's fair.
The core is one family, yeah.
Okay. Now, Roy, I mean, you come from a totally different background, but you've been doing documentaries now for some time, producing them. What made you want to make the jump from animation to docs?
Well, it's interesting because I still work in both.
And, right.
You know, I'm pretty much dependent upon Keith and his team to bring this amazing footage. I'm very fortunate in my career because I work with a lot of incredible artists on both the documentary side and on the animation side. And I was approached back in 2014, right after I completed Big Hero 6, and asked if I would like to help out on the story of Born in China. And so I jumped at the chance for two reasons. I thought that the director, Lu Chuan, was quite amazing. But also, I've been giving to the Snow Leopard Trust for many, many years, and I'm a big fan of snow leopards. And that kind of drove my activism, or at least my interest in the environment. And I have to say, working with guys like Keith and his partner Alistair have been just an amazing honor. And it just is, you know, it feeds. You know, I think the animation storytelling feeds the documentary narrative that we, you know, our stories, we like to call them true life adventures, much like Disney's true life adventures from the 50s. So I basically help these guys who bring me the stories, and we just try and force them to make them as you know, open to the broadest possible audiences that's available.
Well, yeah.
And creatively, it's been fantastic for us as well because, you know, we come from a pretty probably conservative wildlife filmmaking background, and we actually sort of coming together with the Disney animation team and developing stories and everything with them has been a fantastic experience, and I think the shows. You can see when you watch the show the synthesis of those two groups of talented people.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. Disney nature films, you know, wildlife films in general in the last, I'd say, decade have come so far. I remember as a kid, my grandfather forcing me to watch this painfully awful one, and all it was a guy in a canoe and just paddling, and there was no dialogue. But...
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Disney was one of the, you know, first nature filmmakers, you know, that actually got stuff out there. You know, when you look back at, you know, he started in 1948 and did a whole series up through the early 60s. Then you see what companies like Silverback have done in terms of what they've brought to the table, you know, with Planet Earth and you know, or Earth, and just the amazing work that they've done. It's just, it's a wonderful, wonderful partnership.
Now, having said that for you both, what would you like to see accomplished through Disney Nature right now with these sorts of films? What do you hope that comes from viewing these things? It's not just watching beautiful scenery of fish.
No, absolutely. From the Disney side, I can, or from the personal side, let's put it that way. I know I grew up on the True Life Adventures as a kid, seeing them on, you know, Sunday evening on Wonderful World of Disney, and I was living in the suburbs of Los Angeles, not much connection with nature, and they were the things that kind of opened me up to the wonder of the world. And that's what I want to share with families and kids, that wonder and hopefully the care that we need to share with these incredible creatures and the support we need to give them. You know, we are all one on this incredible planet, and I want to get that message out to kids.
And I'm in exactly the same boat. You know, the oceans by and large are in trouble. And coral reefs are in big trouble, and it's almost our duty to get the message out that actually these are some of the most incredible things, precious things the Earth has, and we have to get that to young people because they are the future,
And if the young people can fall in love with the ocean, the creatures with the oceans have a hope. And, you know, it's a really, that is why I make these films. And, yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah.
One of the great things, and I hope when people watch Dolphin Reef, simultaneously coming out on Disney Plus is going to be Diving with Dolphins, I'm sorry. Mm. Wrong title. Diving with Dolphins, which is the making of the film. Mm. And it is truly a phenomenal, you know, once you see the story, and then you come back and you see the filmmakers and the amazing work that they do to bring you these stories, and the great, there are some wonderful success stories in terms of what's happening in the ocean. Palau, where we filmed the parrotfish sequence, really is stunningly beautiful. I don't think there's anything more beautiful than a healthy coral reef. And Hawaii, where we filmed our whale stories, in the 1960s, there were only 1,000 whales off the coast of Hawaii. And now there are over 10,000 whales. Mm. And this is all because there is hope. There is a way of bringing this back, and we just, as a society, as a population, as humans, need to support that.
That absolutely is true. And, you know, the film actually has a real emphasis on being together, not just with Echo and his mother, but also in the case with the humpbacks. And we see that just so, I mean, this may seem like a silly question in some ways, but is that something that you found genuinely important at the natural level? I wondered as I was watching it.
You actually hit the nail. The whole idea of the film is actually, it's based on very, very hard-nosed ecology.
Hmm.
In that a coral reef can actually only function with a lot of participants doing different roles in a very ordered and organized way. And, you know, and it is fascinating that if you remove sharks, say, from a coral reef, the whole ecosystem is degraded. And that is in the film.
Hmm.
We have put that, you know, we made a big effort to say, hang on, guys, sharks are not the bad guys. Coral reefs need sharks. And it's the same with dolphins and predators and so on. The message, I hope, and it's great that you got that feeling of community from the film, because in a way that's the underlying message.
Hmm.
And if anyone who watches the film comes away thinking, yeah, I know, if you live in the ocean, you need friends. That for us is a success story, because and then we hope that will translate into, hang on, you can't just, you know, start overfishing certain species. You can't do it, because the community will not survive if you kind of do that. So there's a bigger message in the film, but I hope it's kind of, it's not in your face. It's just there.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's interesting, because I do think that, you know, one of the big themes is the importance of being a meaningful part of society, you know, and that everyone must do their part. And then from the Disney side, there's also kind of a Pinocchio story going on there with Echo.
Hmm.
About him learning, you know, he learns how to be a member of society and how to be a productive member of society. And I think, you know, it's a great story for all of us.
Well, thank God he doesn't get eaten by a whale like Pinocchio did. That would be a traumatic moment.
That would be a good show.
Yeah, from a documentary standpoint, it might have been stunning, but
yeah, we probably have to leave that. But there is that one amazing shot that Keith got with the whale is literally riding on the wake of the dolphin is riding on the wake of the whale, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a forward wave. That was interesting. I don't know. Like, that was an incredible shot to get.
Yeah, because basically a whale is like a big boat. And, you know, you get this bow wave off them. And the scientists actually think that, you know how dolphins often ride on the bow wave of a speedboat or what have you?
Sure.
They probably learned that technique off whales.
Hmm.
So it's something that comes from the natural world, and obviously when our speedboats come along, that's an even better wave. They like fun though, dolphins. Well, that's what I find. So you can see that they are cheeky. They have a sense of humour. They enjoy surfing. They're funsters, and they're just amazing animals.
Hmm. I was wondering how Natalie Portman came to be involved in the film. It's interesting with her voicing it. She did a wonderful job.
She does a great job. And you know what was really cool, and particularly for me, was she was living in Paris a while back, and she went to a screening of one of our Disney Nature films. And one of our partners, and a fellow who actually helped develop Disney Nature, Jean-François Camilleri, met her, and she explained to him, or expressed to him, that she was interested in actually voicing one of these. She had brought her children to the screening, and she was truly impressed. And if you know anything about Natalie, she's a really impressive artist, but an equally impressive activist. And so this was something that was right up her alley. And so for me, when we contacted her, it was a very easy sell. In fact, she was ready to jump in immediately. And when Keith and I recorded her in Los Angeles, she was just phenomenal. It was
totally a dream. Yeah, absolutely amazing. Yeah.
She was interested in the film. We would show her, talk to her, about the specific parts and what was happening in terms of the behavior, and she was just able to take that and then I think do such a spectacular job.
Yeah, she brings a real personality to it in so many ways. Like there's moments where she's almost playful in her dialogue, which I thought was really, it was neat. It was nice rather than just a flat reading. Like you could see that she's passionate about it as well.
Absolutely.
Thinking about this, and I'm sure you guys are constantly learning, but is there anything particular about dolphins or sea or wildlife in the sea that you learned that you didn't know before that really blew your mind?
I think certainly when we were filmed the whale pods actually fighting each other, we all think of kind of whales as being kind of gentle leviathans, and the actual the energy and power of humpback whales when they're getting heated up is pretty astounding, and I certainly took that away from it. But I think for me the overall thing came. I always knew dolphins were smart. I always knew they were great, but I just came away from finishing the film thinking that this is definitely an animal that's on our level in terms of behavior, smartness, culture, all of that. You feel that obviously they work in such a different kind of environment in a different way, but you just have to look at them and think, yeah, you guys are on our level, and maybe one day we'll be able to talk to each other. that was certainly my takeaway.
And the filming of that was phenomenal because that was above water, below water, and the developing special pole cam to be able to get that underwater was amazing.
Hmm.
I think for me, it's probably I was just blown away by the mud rings that they use, that takes place in. Off the coast of Florida and Alabama, I believe. Just the amazing cooperation between them in order to catch fish and share the bounty. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, they're the only animal we know that can really, design a kind of a trap and then cooperatively use it. It is extraordinary.
There's a shot that they're in unison and they're swimming upwards and it almost looks like they're dancing. I was wondering if you could speak to that. That one of those shots, I mean, all of that stuff was fascinating, but that one particular shot for me, I didn't really understand what was happening there. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I do. I mean, what they can do and the communication between dolphins is extraordinary and they can completely mimic each other's behavior.
Hmm.
Without seemingly talking to each other. Now, probably what they're doing in their very high-pitched communication, they're probably telling each other exactly what they're going to do next. But it's so fast, and they can so quickly react to each other. I mean, there was all these amazing experiments done on dolphins in the 70s and 80s in captivity, and where dolphins could, they proved they could talk to each other. They were told, one was told to do a trick, and they could tell the other one, hey, I'm going to do this trick. And they do it exactly together, in synchrony. So, there's a level of sophistication to their communication behavior, which is way beyond our understanding.
But, Keith, that goes in with the sleeping as well. Another issue that just blew me away, that they sleep with one half of the brain at one, you know, at a time.
Yeah,
and are able to kind of maintain, a block for protection.
They've got such active minds; they need a lot of sleep. They're very much like us. They need a good few hours a day,
good 8 hours
to switch the thing off. But only half at a time, as Roy says.
Well, I mean, guys, it is a fantastic film. I mean, as we wrap up here, just one thing. I mean, you've both been doing this for a while. I know Keith has been doing this for a very long time, and Roy, you've been doing it now for roughly almost a decade, I'd say. Is there a segment of wildlife population that you'd like to cover that you haven't yet?
Well, Keith, I'll let you go first on that one.
I think there's always it's interesting. I'm probably with my company and you know, experience, what we've probably done lots and lots of things. I think that what's coming happening with natural history now, what we know now is we can just always do it so much better. And there are two reasons for that. One is the scientific knowledge about animal behavior is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So, and there's scientists in the field who are really getting to understand different things. So they can help us to get that insight. At the same time, technology is getting better and better and better. So we can do all sorts of things we couldn't do before. So I think the thing is, as opposed to really going and finding completely new creatures and completely new things, it's going back to the ones we know, but being able to reveal so much more about them in such an exciting way. So that's the thing. Think the place we are now. Mind you, at the same time, obviously the natural world is declining all around us. So it's a kind of almost a race against time to get these moments. So interesting times.
It's interesting because I started with my favorite animal, which is probably the snow leopard. But coming up, we have an elephant, a film that's just stunning. And then we're also working on a polar bear film.
Oh, wow.
Talk about how important that is right now, because it really is, focused on survival, on the absolute survival of the planet and the species. So, I think the more we can tell these stories, the more we can share with the populace, the better.
Well, I look forward to seeing what you guys have next, because elephants, because I think Elephants comes out on Disney Plus the same day as Dolphin Reef. Is that true?
Exactly. It's a huge Disney Plus Earth Month celebration. We're going to have Dolphin Reef will come out with Elephant, which will come out with the making of both Dolphin Reef, which is diving with dolphins, and then the making of Elephant, which is in the footsteps of Elephant. And then we've got Penguins, which was a film that was released last year, coming out, and new to the world will be the making of Life on the Edge, which is the making of Penguins. So it's going to be a month of great natural history filmmaking.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. I haven't seen Elephant, and I missed Penguins, but I'm looking forward to checking them out when they're alive. And Dolphin Reef is gorgeous.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Speaking with you.
Yeah, this has been great. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
If you need any info, feel free to call.